an afternoon with Roberto Acapinti, Hugh Marsh, Mike Slosky, John Wire, Bob Becker, Michael White, and Henry Kacharczyk. You put that much talent into one room and something good's bound to happen. You've been listening to Radio Music Gallery on CKLN 88.1. Alan Davis, your host, and Paul Hodge, your engineer. We will be back next week at the same time. Good night.
Is associated with a work of art, the art takes on special aura, and vice versa.
Take your mark, Jack. The problem with language.
Diese Rufnummer ist um.
Dan, what is this for? What is this recording for?
You know, when I first heard about it, I could hardly believe it. It seemed almost too good to be true.
Well, I can't really believe it yet either.
Look at me. I've never won anything in my life at all.
The problem with language.
Lesson 7.
The second Sunday of every month, 11 to 2 a.m. on CKLN 88.1.
New initiate, Seamus McKee. He was up for the 2-week intensive. He was exposed to Bob Knowledge for an almost continuous period of 2 weeks, and he made remarkable progress. It's a new kind of
disciple one to guru one. Disciple one to guru one. Come in, guru. Can you hear me?
I might like to add that the kind of progress we witnessed in the Mike Dyer phenomenon took place over a year. That's the
Yeah, Mike, what do you think of the rave reviews my show's getting?
Your show, Bob?
Well, when's your show on?
Well, my show's on Thursday morning.
Well, mine's on Wednesday at midnight.
Every other Wednesday at midnight, Bob.
Yeah, the Church of the Subgenius.
With Mike Dyer.
And J.R. Bob Dobbs. Mike, some more rave reviews?
Yes, sure, Bob.
Give us a lot, but where does this take us? How does this help to get
Here we are. The greatest artist alive today. Welcome and good night, good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Church of the Subgenius radio half hour, plus or minus, usually plus 15 minutes. My name is Michael Dyer, here with J.R. Bob Dobbs. Welcome again tonight.
And the pews are filled tonight.
The which? I'm sorry.
The pews.
Can you maybe bring the mic a little closer?
No,
don't take it off. Just bring it,
bring it
closer.
Okay, you want to put that...
Yeah.
Sure. See, it's just difficult to hear.
I'll just bring our technician.
See, you know, like, bash around a bit. Black Bob gets... Kent just walked in right when we needed assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the microphone fell off. Okay, Kent, you ready? Sure thing,
All right, now the disciples in the pews are looking for the... extended seminar, or the completed intensive. See, you faded out the promo there, Mike, and the words completed intensive didn't get put up. Get up. Okay, so, Mike, it's nice to talk to you again. Nice to talk to the discarnate disciples. But just before we go into minutes and matters of the hand signals, you know. For who?
The blind.
Yeah. Before we go into that, we've had another audition.
And these auditions come in over the phone lines.
Over the phone line?
How do these auditions get to you?
Well, I'll tell that story after. Let's see if they can recognize where it came from. But
perhaps we should explain, because we pick up new listeners each and every week in this big city. And
no, we don't need to explain.
Please explain.
I want to deal with the devoted ones tonight. This is an exclusive show for devoted listeners.
I'm in a good mood, so I'm going to let you push me around tonight.
That's me on drums.
Give me a year on that. 1962, maybe. No.
No. You can't. Forget it, Kent. 65.
Well, forget.
You remember? Kent. Yeah. You know who it was? You don't know. The New Beats. Now, how did I get this? See, I played for the New Beats. That was me on drums.
Yes.
All right? And I was walking down Yonge Street the other day. I was out of touch with Mike and many people, and that kind of discontinuous disconnecting with people creates opportunities for new things to happen in my life. Both basically, since I'm all time and space, it retrieves things. So I'm walking on Yonge Street and I run this guy. He recognizes me. I'm not sure who he is. He explains himself. He was the guy doing the falsetto voice on the New Beats. He said, Bob, remember me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And after a while, yeah. And so he doesn't know who I really was. So I explained it and told him to tune into the CKLN and hear my show. And he said, well, Bob, knowing you, I didn't know it was going to get that big, you know, your life purpose. But I could believe in it, so I want to be part of it. I want to be, what do you got? What can I do? I said, well, audition the theme. So he always liked that song. I was on it. So he offered that old hit from Bob as a theme song for the show.
Great. I like it.
It's good.
I like it.
Run, Bobby, run.
It maintains its ties with, you know, 50s, 60s rock, which I know you have a personal affection for, as was shown in the
previous card. I knew those people.
And as a great, great timekeeper, as a great drummer, as we all knew you. What was your name with the New Beats, Bob?
Bob.
Bob.
I can't give up the last name.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I was always Bob. The last name always changed, but I was always Bob, because that's what I am.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob is not a pronoun. It's a noun, a verb, an adjective, a dangling participle,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
It's everything. What's on the agenda tonight, Bob?
So what about the theme? He's listening. He's going to want to know if we're going to use it. You like it? What do you think, Ken?
I like it.
Okay, now this theme wouldn't displace the other theme.
No themes. It'll be included in the rotation.
Yeah.
Okay, so business at hand?
Gets our vote.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Run, Bobby, run. Do you see what he says? I'm not the kind of guy that would da-da-da-da-da, right? It doesn't matter. I'm not the kind of guy that would do something.
Yeah.
And that is basically what the church is about, that you don't have to worry with Bob. He's not that kind of guy. Whatever you're worried about, he will not do that.
Mm-hmm. And Bob will worry for you as well.
Oh, yeah. Did we go into files? Are phones ringing?
It was ringing. Now, we should maybe create a... I don't like structure.
Oh, no structure. Forget that idea. Okay. Phone in, 595-1478.
You're the one. You're the one handling the phones. Okay, yeah, if you, again, have a call for Bob, and we've been getting some great calls, including if you've been listening for the last, what has it been, two shows now? We've had calls from other parts of the universe, and you can't see my gesture there, but I am pointing
towards Venus.
Yeah, up in the air. And I think these calls have been perhaps one of the most exciting advents in radio, and people, of course, just don't acknowledge us. They don't take us seriously. But
I think we've made radio history.
But again, you know, who the hell cares, right?
Yeah, because the trick goes on.
Yeah. And what I've learned, Bob, what's really important to me
is that you need me. You need to talk to me more than you need to talk to me more than every 2 weeks. I mean, we talked about it before the show.
That's what other people think. Does it? It doesn't matter what other people think.
You know what?
Suddenly I've realized that. I try to talk to other people. I try to convince them. They don't listen, or they don't admit that they listen. I think there are more people there who listen who don't admit it.
Yeah.
And who cares? They'll come around in time. I'm here now. I'm a better person for it. My hair's growing back. I've lost weight. And
Mike, this is a cool. Mike's taking over the show.
Oh, I won't talk to him.
Oh, no, it's all right, Mike. No, it's nice to hear that you still have the faith. And and I think, what were we just talking about? I had a witty remark.
Phones. We were talking about phones.
You know what?
People not listening.
I'm having trouble with Connie. I bought a used car the other day. Yeah, you know what happened?
Are you serious?
I bought a used car and I found her dress in the back seat. Ooh, Connie's been acting up again. Okay, we got a call?
We may have a call. Why don't you bullshit for a while?
Well, no, wait. About your point, it's not that they have to come around, Mike. It's that people don't have to listen to you. And it doesn't matter. You now have electric autonomy. This is an important point to make. Electric autonomy is the final bias. Now, you're just experiencing the thrills of the final bias of electric autonomy when you realize you don't have to match. You can just make, and no connections are necessary. Right, Mike? Now, you will need me again in a new way when you realize the disservices of electric autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay, we got a caller. Hi, go ahead.
Hi, it's Connie.
Oh. It's well-scripted, this show.
Hi, Connie.
What, Connie?
Bob?
Yeah?
Did you realize that the phone was ringing before you brought up that joke?
That'd give away a lot, Connie, but the show is scripted. Yes, you were supposed to be phoning in right after I made that joke.
No, don't cover it up, Bob. I was phoning in because I knew something was afoot. Because once you started mentioning that Mike had changed, and Mike mentioned, lost weight, I'm growing hair. I mean, who's responsible for that, Bob? It's not you, it's me.
Oh, see, Connie's got a book coming out, and she's feeling real powerful.
She
thinks it's her because she gets snuffed. You know, everybody's reading McLuhan now. He's got a new pink biography out, so... Connie forgot the prime rule. When you extend yourself through any medium, and in her case a book, she numbs herself. She's numbed visually, so she becomes megalomaniac in a efficient causality sense. And that's you, Doc.
did you really buy a car?
Well, that's a good point. It's a very good point.
Well, no, Connie wanted to use car. I think she set it up. She's trying to tell me something.
Yeah.
She's never intervened on this show. She knows this is my territory. I mean, I give good... kudos to her. I mean, she's very important in my work, but certainly I don't like her invading my airspace. What's so funny, eh? I mean, that's not in the script, maybe. So, you're down there publishing. You got your own printing press, right?
That's right.
Yeah, the crew's back there. Just how many copies you got made now?
I think we're on to about 50.
Oh, great. This is the booklet that I saw the prototype for a few weeks ago.
Oh, did you see it, Mike?
At David's.
Oh, you've been hanging around with Mike too, Connie?
I called up
Connie the other day and I said, Connie, I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about the last time we had sex and I'm getting excited. And she goes, who is this? She said, I'm one in a million. Well, that's true. I've been one in a million. Well, Connie... Stop laughing. Give your workers, the co-workers there, a chance.
Yeah, stop covering up the real truth,
okay,
Bob.
Okay, Connie, how are you going to explain the fact you dedicated your book to Linda LaRouche? Explain that, baby.
That's to get me back into visual space.
Oh, that's right. It's a visual medium, so you use the archetype of visual space, LaRouche. LaRouche has brought back visual space, nationalism, individualism, the Augustinian tradition. Very good, Connie.
Right.
Connie does homework.
Yeah, the point is made, and thanks to Loren and Mike, we're getting the book out, and I'll talk to you later.
Great. Bye, Connie.
Goodbye. No. What an asshole.
Hey, come on.
What do you mean?
Don't.
Oh, Mike, come on. I'm allowed to get away with a lot of stuff tonight, right? Look at them laughing. You hear that little squeak as they hang up. They're so excited they were discarded tonight. More calls, 595-1478. As Mike was pointing out, yes, we've been having calls from the Exes or pseudo-Exes because the Exes are working with me. And actually, the Exes gave a press conference at the Royal York Hotel on March...
on Sunday, Easter weekend.
Oh, yeah, I mean, March 28th. March 25th.
Yeah, March
25th.
Weekend.
And not last weekend, the weekend before, March 25th. But a fantastic statement for the next 12 months in Toronto. I'm going to be right on with my predictions with the assistance of the Exes. Another caller?
We do indeed. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, you have a question for Bob?
Yeah, like, what are you guys all about?
Bob, can you be very succinct? And
well, we're about me, but when am I? I'm a figure for a ground. The ground's the electric environment, in particular CKLN. That means if you're on the air with us right now, you're discarnate, you're more than an angel, and it needs more explaining than what I just said. So you say something, and then I respond. You know, that's the way humans interact, right? Go.
Yeah, I realize that, but
that's not in the script. That's not in the script, buddy. You're way off the script.
Hey, come on.
Using up the airspace.
What?
For what's going on? Like, what's happening on the radio here this evening? What are you guys discussing?
We're talking Bob.
I was flipping through the old Walkman, and you guys...
We showed up.
Yeah, you showed up at the very bottom of the scale on the radio, and it just blew my mind that you were there.
I know the energy. Like, we've only been on for a few minutes, but the energy just communicates immediately, right? And see, you're looking for explanation for the content. The content is not really what Bob's about. It's the form of communication via discarnate electricity, and you picked up on it, baby. You're a subgenius. You already don't even know what that means, but you are one. That means you're never going to invent something. You're never going to invest in land. You're never going to do anything. You're never going to sell, because you know everybody turns into a genius, wrecks the planet, so be a subgenius, right? This is about the subgeniuses. We're just, you know, like Alan Watts, the book, This Is It. Well, this is all there is, baby. It's those who want to extend themselves are causing a lot of disservices, right? Can I give your first name? See, he's communicating.
You guys are unbelievable.
This is real rady, baby. What do you think of our theme song? You know, Run, Bobby, Run. Do you like that by the Easy Beats?
Is this the true Church of Bob that's like the absolute true Church of Bob?
That's one, yeah. The one that you read about in the books.
Yeah, the guy with the pipe from the back of the National Lampoon album.
He's sitting across from me in the studio.
Yep. Can you can feel me, can't you?
I can.
Really?
Yeah.
That you're the absolute Church of Bob. Is there a Bob blessing? I mean, do you guys have guilt and things like that? Or anti-guilt, I guess it would be, due to the fact that...
Oh, we have everything. We're comprehensive. We believe in belonging to more than one cult.
All cults.
Yeah, we're all cults, including the ones who got the big real estate, you know, like the Catholic Church. They don't call themselves cults anymore because they got more money in the bank. But we are members of all cults. And
even
we pulled
the swarming cults from down at the Eaton Center, those...
Yep, those solo cults, those guys that stand on the corner and just starting, you know, one-man cults. We support them.
Financially as well?
Financially,
if I could get a donation.
Oh, yeah. Give your phone number, we'll send some money immediately. I mean, I'm very wealthy. No problem.
Well,
buddy, you're never going to have to work again since you found our stuff on the dial, baby. You don't realize this is bigger than Lotto 649. Baby, you are rich, man. Checks in the mail.
Yeah, right? Checks in the mail. You trust me. Yeah, I understand that one perfectly. Well, Bob, I don't really have any other questions to ask.
Well, I have some questions. Have you read any McLuhan?
Not recently, no.
Have you read any LaRouche?
Not recently,
Did you listen to my interview with Frank Zappa?
Well, I saw something about it on the news on TV a while ago, but I'm not really clued into the church of anything. That's my church.
Okay, do you watch Herbert Armstrong?
No.
Do you read Finnegan's Wake?
Nope.
Did you ever know Dave Worster Channel for Cosmic Awareness?
Bob, what's the point you're getting at here?
I think this is... Bob, what is the point?
I'm pointing out that maybe the holy offices aren't as important as me. Because this guy feels like and is communicating church dogma before he's heard of any of the holy offices. Baby, you passed. Another check's in the mail. Talk to you later.
Oh, you're jumping. I'm going to be loaded.
Okay, thanks a lot, caller.
All right, bye.
Bye.
What a nice guy. What a wonderful girl.
Now, that's exactly the sort of listener that we were reaching out to.
He knew. He said, this is wild. This is me.
This is it.
Cancel my social insurance number.
He's cracking off his tuning dial at 88.1. We're making a mistake for some of the other programs, he's there.
He's going to weld his dial to that station from now on, baby. Fundraising 12 months of the year here at Wednesday night.
Just take my shirt off, okay?
Okay.
Take my sweater off.
Maybe with all this excitement, I should do a little file reading, sober up. I mean, this guy can get a better idea of what we're about if I read some files.
Considering energy tonight, huh?
Good tonight, I mean, you're riding on it. Kent's riding on it. We know Kent's getting it because he ain't saying nothing. Oh, good. Another call. Let's send more messages.
Okay. Oh, hello. Well, hang on. Okay. That's right. You know, everyone's intimidated when they first call Bob. It's
wrong.
Hard, but...
LaRue's jury was rigged. The energy. I mean, usually Kent, when he has no energy, he starts talking, you know, but Kent's able to keep quiet.
Kent's just dragging out.
Are you reading In God's Name? You read the book?
I finished it, yeah.
What do you think?
Excellent.
Who did it? Who killed the Pope? Who shot the Pope? Who killed the first one?
Who killed the first one? Lucio Joe, I think.
Yeah, and I've given you articles on him well before you read the book. So Bob gets the information out first. More information Sunday morning, right?
Yep.
Next item, no phone?
I'll just keep talking. If someone calls, I'll let you know.
Okay, I'm going to go into a file, Mike.
What are your little tiny files again this week?
Oh, I have something to say.
All right.
I feel a need to explain. I just love it when a real sub-genius tunes in. Mm-hmm. I mean, Connie's an old sub-genius, so, you know, I don't feel the charge from her, but...
I'd like to point out that the phone was ringing as you mentioned Connie's name.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I was ahead of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
she was ahead of you.
No, she was ahead of you.
Yeah, she was ahead of me, right. Yeah, I mean, more of my wonderful Marcus powers.
Yeah. So, you were going to talk about Marcus? True sub-genii?
I feel a need when someone calls in like that. It's new. They want to know what it's about. I want to explain it, but it takes a long time. I've been doing this for 2 years almost, and how can I distill it? But I'll give an example. I came here in 1982. I set up in Toronto after destroying the Dallas Church, and I had nothing much to do until my time was appropriate for talking to Mike. So I started watching TV Ontario, and I watched Realities. You know that show Realities with Bob Fulford and...
TV Zero.
And the other guy, what's the other guy? Richard Gwynn.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched every show for the last 7 years. I've watched every reality show. And that's why I can believe and reconfirm that I'm an expert on pink intellectuals. Because I studied those guys on TVO for 7 years. The parade of intellectual pinks that marched over that network. And then they have the gall every now and then to come on and ask me to send them some money to support that pinkhood. But I called up Alexander Schimberg, one of the men involved in that show, and I told him, hey, buddy, I've listened to every show you've put on. He almost had a heart attack. He couldn't believe that anybody had the time or slack to sit around and see every show for 7 years and review it in the summer when they rerun it. And after he calmed down, he just really didn't know how to express his gratitude or didn't know what this meant. I mean, actually, someone was paying attention to their content. He was shocked. He didn't really believe that anybody should follow their content. You know, why pay attention to their stuff? And I think a great sense of meaninglessness entered his life at that point, because actually the idea that someone was watching all that stuff just shocked him. So I didn't tell him, but I'm telling you now, Alex, it was me, Bob Dobbs, the high epoch of this incredible church, was studying you and Bob Fulford and Richard Gwynn for all those hours. Mm-hmm. And man, I didn't learn one item. I didn't learn one little bit of anything. So keep the show going. Point out to the people that McLuhan was right. The medium is the message, not the content.
Okay.
And Fulford knows that, but he won't admit it.
Keep bluffing those people.
I see the dial's going. That's another call.
You're listening to CKLN 88.1 in Toronto. It's about 25 after 12. The Church of the Subgenius, the bi-weekly show.
Eating up the minute.
My name is Michael Dyer. Across from me is J.R. Bob Dobbs. And we're going to the phone lines, because we like to go to the phone lines. People always have things to say.
I hope it's the Star Wars boys.
Hi, CKLN.
They're back.
This sounds like an Evergreen's reading.
I'm sure to know at least one person who doesn't care about being overcome, who kind of is a time for all time.
a new listener. Ah, I recognize that voice. Coffee. Yeah, what do you, what's your question tonight, Nate? Oh, they're getting off the energy of us tonight, Mike. Oh, I think we're throwing their feedback system all away. Oh, it's communicating with us. YYZ, talk about the YYZ gallery. Tell us about that. YYZ here in general. Oh, budget cuts, eh? Yeah. YYZ wouldn't put on your show, eh? All right. I can understand your anger. Hello? Yes, yes. Yes. We're back. Little trouble there, getting through. Slap shot. Interact with me, baby. Can you make out what he's saying, Mike? It's I gotta tune in psychically on this one.
Who's left tonight, though?
It's Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, Hendrix and John Cage.
It's Purple Haze, isn't it?
Jimmy, baby! Jimmy always was considered a space alien by his devoted fanatics. Look what YYZ is missing.
The interference is rough tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's intentional or not.
Well, they think of how far away they are.
Millions and billions of peak years away, and it sounds like whales in the cosmic ocean. I mean, this mothership must be huge, Mike. Listen to it. Oh, it reminds me of my days back in Atlantis, you know, when these big blimps would flying by, and I'd be just laying there in the grass, sucking out some crystal balls. You know, suck that crystal ball. Yeah, Alexander Blair, you haven't seen nothing when you've been amazing compared to what I've been. You and your editorials, pinky, pinky, pinky. This is a whale talk here, whale talk. You know, I think they're trying to do the easy beat song. Auditioning the theme song. That's what's going on here. That is incredible composing. We're gonna have to cut this, baby. Our new listeners are getting alienated. Put on something else. Come on, put on something. Speak English. Oh,
that's it. We just lost their signal.
What a communication. I think that they're getting, as we get higher decibels of intensity, they just...
It raises
the density of their smoke. Yeah. Their smoke gets more blurred.
Let's go to tonight's file.
How about staying and then file? Whatever. No, we've had staying. I better do this because we've had too much noise. Staying will probably be noisy.
Okay, so straight file tonight.
All right, file tonight. This is more recent file, Mike. This is from the Secret Council of Ten for new listeners. And I was a member of that, but not the chairman. I'm the chairman now as of the election. Jesus, almost the anniversary of the election. Well, yeah, March 88, I was elected Secret Council of Ten as chairman position in the game of musical chairs, and I got the last chair. And this is a reading in 1986 after Reykjavik, and when obviously the world order seemed to be changing, and the Secret Council people asked me, Mr. Turning Taxes especially, asked me, Bob, what is the meaning of this new atmosphere, this new coming together of the superpowers, the United States and the Soviet Union? And I said, Mr. Turning Taxes and the other eight colleagues, and this I'm reading from the script, so it's past tense, but this is what I said. Bob indicated that it is time
the international pink sphere, the internationalist pink sphere. It is time to create a different kind of Cold War, perhaps one which is more heated, between the superpowers on one side and the developing nations on the other side. Got that, Ken? So that they can take control, especially of those areas of high wealth and minerals, such as the Middle East and its oil, and the areas in South and Central America with their minerals and oil. Bob indicated that these shifting loyalties are not simply for the purpose of diminishing conflict and bringing about peace. No, these pinks are more interested in gaining greater control of the earth, of the minerals, of the wealth, of the use of people. Bob indicated that the masses have been duped on many occasions, manipulated by those who hold power, the pink prison. The masses have been used like puppets. These are all cliches. I apologize for them, but that's how I had to communicate back then. This is 1986. The masses have been used like puppets on strings to play the games. The manipulations of war from the Second World War, even from the First World War into the Second World War and the following wars, each of these carefully orchestrated by those pink powers that control the wealth, so that they would gain ever greater control of the wealth through the manipulation of masses, manipulation of ideas, manipulation of emotions, and the manipulation of societies and nations, and at their expense in the sense of human suffering and economic cost. Bob indicated that this is the bottom line, and all of those labels of communism, atheism, capitalism, all of those things were carefully selected and used for manipulative purposes to turn brother against brother, pink against pink, sister against sister, subgenius against subgeniuses, and crowds and masses against crowds and masses, and media against media, visual space against acoustic space, with tactility coming up on the rear. Bob indicated that fortunately more and more of those masses of entities are awakening. Well, the pinks are not really, but subgeniuses, more and more subgeniuses are awakening, because I was going to be on the air, and thinking, instead of simply acting like a crowd or mob, shouting slogans and labels and polarized hostilities. Bob indicated that too many people are too caught up in slogans, labels, and polarities to even think clearly, to even look beyond those banners and uplifted fists. Uplifted fists. Good image there, eh? Those hostilities, those red-faced, pink-faced people who stomp the floor when hearing a word. Word allergies. Bob suggested that entities... Now, here was my recommendation to these people. Bob suggested that entities wishing to recognize those things may benefit greatly from stomping the floor, clenching the fist, and shouting communism into the air 20 or 30 times until they diffuse that energy and are willing to look at the realities behind those emotionally charged words. Others, I recommend they shout capitalism 20 or 30 times, 22 times, actually. And I ask, who started those charged words? Who created that terminology that is so hated? I suggested that if entities go back in history and look carefully at the origin of communism, they will find that they were financed from the banks in New York, trained on the streets in New York, and these pinks went to Russia and were loosed onto the streets to start the revolution in behalf of the pink banking establishment of New York. I indicated that if entities... Now, this is real new information. Note that Kent leaves when the new stuff comes out. Bob indicates that if entities go back far enough into the origins of the concepts of Karl Marx, they will find that he was one who was commissioned. Commissioned. I mean, there were ads in the secret society networks. Okay? Secret advertisements. They will find that he was one, Karl Marx, was commissioned by certain select members of secret organizations working for the banking establishment to write the Manifesto for Communism. And at the same time, you have never heard the word Karl Ritter, have you, Mike? Who is Karl Ritter? Karl Ritter? At the same time they commissioned Karl Marx, they also commissioned Karl Ritter, and he was to write the Manifesto for the Extreme Right. Look it up in history, Mike. Subgenius history and pink history. It's there. Karl Ritter. See, the Nazis are more cover-up artists, right?
So what was it that Ritter wrote?
He wrote the Manifesto for the Nazi Movement. Mm-hmm. All right? He wrote this in the 1800s. That which became exemplified later in the Nazi and fascist movements. And that which correlates to the extreme right today. Now, both these guys, Marx and Ritter, the two Karls, the Corals, in other words, as acoustic space started to come in, tribalism was retrieved, and you had those tribally opposed to being tribal, and those tribally for being tribal. We could say the communists, Karl Marx, represented those who were tribally for being tribal. They were already tribal under electric conditions. And those who were against being tribal, even though they were tribal under electric conditions, thought they could maintain some position and stand up for the rights of those who are against being tribal. That's Karl Ritter's gang. Now, this was commissioned by those people by the Fundo and the Fundy. Fundo singular, Fundy plural. You know, the family trust, the oligarch networks, the pink prison banking funds. They commissioned this through their secret societies, the two 19th century manifestos. And what was your question, Mike?
Well, I asked what Ritter had written, and you explained to me.
Yeah, I mean, anything that comes out on the right, it comes from the basic rules and interpretation sociologically of the dynamism of society, based on a rightward-leaning perspective, an extreme right-wing mm-hmm. perspective. So Carl Ritter commissioned... I mean, what are those guys here in Toronto, the Black Ribbon, right? They're influenced by the Black Ribbon Group. They're influenced by Carl Ritter's ideas. I don't know if they know that. It's been so long ago. But the idea was the Pinks locked up. I did want to point out the reason they were called Carls, because tribalism came back under electric condition. It brought back the choral conditions, the operatic, all right, the 19th century opera. So Carl refers to choral. So you have choral Marx and choral Ritter, right? For the electric isolated planet, the old nature, the coral reef, all right? So reef creates rife, right? And the two corals, Ritter and Marx, explained the content for the choral society.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And hence choralism.
Creating rife.
Rife on.
Rife.
All right. So just to wrap that up, Bob indicated that this polarization came out of the secret meetings. I was there. Came out of the secret schools. I was at those. The secret work and manipulation of the money mongers and entities are still playing into their hands. Pinks especially, without realizing why they shout these slogans of hostility toward the other side, why they hate the other team, why their school team is better because it's their school team, why the other team is worse because it's the other team. There is no logic in the hostility that can break out at a football game in which one team is willing to injure the other team, in which one fan is willing to harm the opposite team's fan. Enough said. Close the file. 1986.
Beautiful play. Beautiful.
New information.
Yeah.
The Choral Society.
That's great.
Choral Marx, Choral Ritter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Choral Reef.
That's why I think the files are important. That's why I encourage you to bring them back.
Thank you, Mike.
You know. What do you want to do? Just a reminder, we are listening to CKLN, and we're in Studio B tonight. J.R. Bob Dobbs is the other voice. My voice is the voice, well, Michael Dyer. And I'm your host, your co-host for... We've got about 10, 15 more minutes. So do you want to go to Subgenius tape, field a few phone calls?
We're going to have some Subgenius, but if anybody wants to call in right now, 595-1478, we'll get ready to put them on the air after we hear a little Reverend Stang and the False Church.
5 years have passed since the FX bullets from the actor assassin's rifle rang in a new era in collective mythology. With the ritual sacrifice and slaughter of John F. Kennedy, 35th President of the United States, the conspiracy nailed the door shut on its reputation as well as the hopes of an entire generation. History was once again successfully captured from those to whom it happened. Can we ever forget the grim preempting of an entire day's worth of valuable network time? The muffled drums, the heavy thud as the conspiracy dropped their review copy of the Rusty Warren Commission on our heads. The murderers were so sure of themselves that they issued a steady stream of press releases about their involvement in Dallas. In spite of this open bragging, there has been no executive reaction. Nobody really cared. We lost our faith on that long ago, warm November afternoon, out on the greasy knoll that overlooks the plaza. There were the tourists on the banked hill, the whole crowd turning as one at the sound of the first shot, solemn and respectful, women red-eyed and tearful, men in their dark suits, still and uncomfortable under the hot television lights. We stared angrily into the black limousine that day and cursed the ways of our merciless and unintelligible God. We must look deep within our bleeding hearts to see the ichor of false patriotism no longer clogs our diseased and cholesterol-lined arteries. We must ask ourselves over and over, again and again, how many more senseless media specials can be milked out of our tragic national anguish? And what is our percentage? And most of all, we must remember to keep that shining, irresponsible vision of the future unsullied by the mud men of the past and the madmen of the present. For the next 60 minutes, sit back, open your bowels, and experience an astral recreation of the events surrounding this most mysterious of international crimes. From the sneering lips of Zorchtron, the malevolent crystal star being channeled through the voice of Mrs. Adele Goldstein, KNON's resident midnight psychic. The Church of the Subgenius is not responsible for fractures of interdimensional consciousness, cellular oral incontinence, nor personal violence resulting from close contact with the macroverse of pain and retribution. Remember, always sit at least 25 feet away from your receiver for maximal subliminal penetration. And we remind you that recording the Subgenius Radio Ministry is a federal crime punishable by a fine of not less than $10,000 and a minimum prison sentence of not less than 15 years. Reproduction by cassette, digital, wire, video, heliograph, Xerox, or Interocitor recorder is forbidden by law. Thank you.
Clever Stang.
Well, another installment of the other Church of the Subgenius in Dallas, Texas. Bob, we have a caller.
Great, let's hear him. Oh, God, it's Connie again. Connie, you're on, baby. Let me have it.
Hello?
Hello, yeah. Bob Zekielin.
Bob, it's Lorraine.
Connie's office manager, yeah. What, Lorraine, what do you think of the show so far? You liking it?
Yeah, it's the first time I've really listened to it fully, but it's pretty neat.
Are you having the reaction like that?